Access number 30635, Mr. Doug Bone, Reel 3. We're talking about your time training, doing your basic training with 14th to 20th Training Regiment, Royal Armoured Corps, at Menin Lines.
Patrick Camp.
From July 48. We're just sort of going through the various things you did. Any other forms of training you had to do? This was basic training, so was there anything to do with tanks or driving or anything in the basic training, or did that come later?
That came later. We passed out as ordinary troopers of the Royal Armoured Corps. We were then
you'd do your trade test.
You were doing your trade aptitudes.
So any of the training you did in basic that you remember?
Like, one thing that does stick in my mind was one very hot day out on the moors, and I think we were stripping either a Bren gun or a Sten gun, and I think the whole troop fell asleep, and the sergeant woke us up pretty rapid and turned to me and said, "You're Bone Idle." And then he said, "What's your name?" So I said, "Bone." Whereupon he went ballistic. I haven't thought about it afterwards. And I keep in touch with two people that I was in basic training with. And we laugh like mad over it on this telephone.
So he just didn't know you were called Bone?
He didn't know at all, you know. And he thought I was taking the mickey. Until I did. Well, I think I eventually showed him the paybook.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads, the other recruits? So you've led into it in a way. Obviously, you got on well with two of them, but generally, how well did you get on with them? What sort of lads were they?
Well, they were from all walks of life. And
were a lot of them conscripts?
I think the vast proportion of our section were National Service.
Did that make any difference to you or them?
Not then, not those days, because you were either there, you would have been there anyway after you had not volunteered. You would have been called up. Not necessarily there, but you would have been in some situation similar to that.
Were there some rougher types, you know, some city? You were from a fairly sheltered background, although you were from a pub as well, so, you know, not entirely sheltered. But, I mean, some of the city boys have got a bit more experience of the nastier side of life. Were there some there who were...
I can't really recall anybody that would have been from the nasty side of life. But there were some there that were a lot better, that were doing their national service. One man in particular was Bristow's son, the man that had all the helicopters years ago. His son was in the same training troop than I was.
So some of them were a lot richer.
Yeah.
And did you all mix in together?
Yeah.
So there wasn't any snob side?
No.
And no bullies from the sound of it?
No.
Now, so you've got your training here. What would you do after training finished? I mean, how preparing for kit inspections is one thing, you know, the room or your stuff. How did you get your uniform ready, tarted up, ready for inspection? I mean, as much as you can remember, starting perhaps with your boots, but wherever your fancy starting, really?
A vast majority of your uniforms you didn't use anyway, because you kept it. At the end of the day, it was already folded. You didn't have to do it every day. You just moved it from one place to another already. It was ready. You got cute enough to realise that you saved yourself a lot of headache.
So how would you get, say, your boots ready? I mean, do you remember...
You spent hour upon hour, didn't you? Sat at the end of the bed with a tin of kiwi or whatever. Kiwi was the favourite one because it wasn't so greasy as cherry blossom.
And how did you actually do it? You know, because you say people say spit and polish, people don't know now because they don't do spit and polish.
Oh, that's right.
So how did you do it?
Well, you did it basically with an old toothbrush. and you worked and worked and worked and spit, and you put the polish on, and you your toe caps, which shone like, well, like glass, were basically polish upon polish upon polish.
And what about the? Because they have little dimples on them when they're issued. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you used to iron that out with a hot iron.
And when you got them balled up, I mean, did you enjoy having done that?
Well, yes, it was an achievement, wasn't it? For the troops, for your instructor to come round and say, you know, didn't tell you that you were a load of rubbish.
Would they give you praise? I mean, if it was good, your boots were good, would they praise it? Or
they praised it up until they praised it after you were the biggest shower of whatever until the passing out parade.
Right, we'll come to that. So they wouldn't give you any positive praise?
No.
Were they fair? I mean, would they tip your stuff off or shout at you if it was unfairly?
Never recall anybody having their kit tipped on the floor.
So it would just be, you'd just be told to do it, get it?
Do it properly.
So that's the boots. What else did you have to do to get your kit ready?
Well, you'd iron the trousers, you'd soap the crease all down your trousers, rub it with soap, so as it was permanent. What else did you do? Blanco your kit, of course.
Well, tell us about Blanco. People don't know what Blanco is now at all.
Don't.
I mean, it's gone, Blanco. What is Blanco and how did you do it?
Well, I don't know what Blanco was made of. I suppose it was basically chalk, I would have thought. Coloured chalk.
And how did you put it on your webbing?
Well, with a damp rag or a damp brush.
And then did you dry it?
It dried. Yeah, it dried. Well, brilliantly white. If it was white, you were doing or khaki.
Now, did you? I'm polishing your buttons.
You had a button stick.
You did have a button stick.
Oh yeah. I think it's still about the house here somewhere.
And I mean, all of this, it's called bull for bullshit as well.
Yeah.
I mean, did you mind it or did you enjoy it or did you secretly enjoy it?
Well, I think you secretly enjoyed it. You were satisfied at the end of the day that it looked good. You were good.
What about preparing a room? Did you have to clean everything in the room as well on a big inspection?
Oh, yes.
How did you do that then?
I mean, you cleaned your own individual bed space. And while we tied the boy up at the end, it was a bit crap. And he let the rest of you down. Well, he took the blunt for it, didn't he?
Did you have bumpers and things like that? Or you know, the bumper, the thing?
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, you got on your hands and knees in those days.
And again, you took it as a challenge.
Well, yes. You had to be better than the hut next door.
How important was that competitive spirit to you?
Oh, it was highly, terribly important.
Why? Why did it work so well with you?
Well, at the end of the day, you were passed out as the best troop. The whole squad was split into not one troop, but six or seven. Which was a whole squadron of cavalrymen at the end of the day. And you had to be better than the ones before. And when the inspecting officer came round and passed you out, you had to be the best troop.
And that really fired you up?
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, you got an extra perhaps 12 hours on your first weekend pass.
So competition for you really worked. It made you work harder. And
yeah.
Now, what about in the evening when you? What would you do? What was the canteen like? I mean, what did it offer a young lad?
Not a lot.
Was it a wet one?
No.
Oh, so you couldn't get a pint?
Not that I can remember.
So what was there in there for you in the canteen?
Well, there was bags of donuts, I suppose, and tea and wad and whatever.
So not a lot.
Not a lot.
Was there any games or, you know, darts or...
Well, yeah, darts were there, snooker table.
Would you spend much time in there during your basic, or were you too busy cleaning your kit?
Well, you were too busy cleaning your kit, basically.
Now tell
but
me
you
about
did manage to get there, and at the end of the day, you at the weekends you were you had a choice of Church Army, you had a choice of Salvation Army, Church of Jock.
Is this for the church service?
No, no. They all had their own their
own. Oh, they all
canteens.
Had their own canteens.
And so, as I said earlier, the Salvation Army, you had to be eight. As a woman walked in with a war cry at 9:10, you had to be eight by 9:15. She'd get knocked over in the rush of people going out the door.
Was there anything else for entertainment on the camp?
Yeah, there was a cinema.
Would you go there much?
Well, you might go there once.
Not important, then?
Not important, no.
Could you get out, you know, into the...
You could get out and go into Richmond.
Would you be allowed to do it?
After your initial...
After you passed out?
No, before you passed out, but after your kit had been tailored, your boots were reasonable, good condition. Those days you went out in uniform. They're talking now of letting the troops wear a uniform, or trying to encourage troops to wear a uniform back in Aldershot today, but Paddy stopped them doing that years and years ago, didn't he?
So what would you do when you went to Richmond? Tell me what a typical jaunt into Richmond was like.
Well, you'd have to eye up the birds and try and find something that's a bit reasonable.
Did you drink? I presume you did, having come from a pub, but not necessarily.
I don't think I drank that much. I certainly didn't smoke.
So how much would you do? I mean, in those days, it seems to have been 2 or 3 pints would be... 2 pints would be social drinking. And
well, yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't drink much more because you couldn't...
No, you couldn't afford it.
So you just careered. Any trouble with the local lads, or was it a fairly placid town?
Well, there was no locals in Richmond. They were all servicemen. any locals in Richmond were grossly outnumbered. There was what, 1, 2? There were 3 cavalry training regiments in Catterick at the time, and 1 in Barnard Castle.
So now, did you do your test to see, you know, what your skills were before you passed out or after you passed out?
Before.
Now, what were these tests?
They were aptitude tests. One thing in particular that strikes me is you were given a bicycle pump to put together, and as long as you got the spring in the right place, you were all right. It's rather funny because my brother, he was a sergeant he eventually transferred to the Royal Engineers, and he was at the Royal Engineer Training Regiment in Guillemont Barracks in Farnborough. And he told me what all the... Because the trade test procedure was exactly the same throughout the whole army, whether it was a bicycle pump in Hampshire or a bicycle pump in Yorkshire. You still had to put it together properly. And I knew exactly what I was going to get from the word I went, from the day I went there. So I passed them in with flying colours. And...
So you were selected for what then?
As a vehicle mechanic.
And that's what you wanted, is it? Not wireless?
No, I didn't want wireless at all. Or I hadn't thought of wireless. All I wanted to go was basically a tank crew. But I was one step ahead of the tank crew procedure.
So you want to be so you pass your trade test for that. Now tell me about the passing out parade, which, you know, what do you remember of it? I mean, how long was that after? 6 weeks, was it, or was it longer?
No, it was more than 6 weeks. It was more like about 3 months, I would have thought, 12 weeks.
Round about November?
No, a little bit before then.
October. And what was a passing out parade like? Was it a big thing? Had you all practiced for it and the rest of it?
Oh, yes, we'd all practiced for it. And as I say, we had to be, each squad had to be the better of the
This is where it was all decided, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yes, you were, I can't think who well, the inspecting officer was, but he was very probably the GOC of Catterick Garrison, or somebody of that rank. And he walked the line the same as anyone else would. And, sergeant had previously walked the line before you and made sure that all the way up the front had the cleanest boots on.
And you passed out, your squad won?
Yeah, I think, yeah. From memory, I'm certain we were the best squad of the day.
Now, and afterwards you said the attitude of the instructors changed, you know, that they became... Well, I mean, was that noticeable that they became nicer, you know?
Well, yes, but bearing in mind that as soon as we'd passed out, we then went on leave for, I don't know, possibly a week. By which time, when we got back, he's got another squad that was a week old then. So he'd largely forgotten about us and started with the next lot, and we'd gone on to somebody else.
Now, what do you stay in the same place? What, the same regiment?
We went back to Catterick. The lesser morsels in the troop became either gunners, went on to gunnery training, wireless training, or tank driving.
So you stayed in the Menin lines with 1420.
That's right.
Now, so tell me about your trade training as a vehicle mechanic.
I went from there, having had to wait several months before I went then to...
Oh, hang on. So what were you doing in those months? You finished your
basic training,
and you have to wait a few months. So what are you doing in those months?
Virtually nothing that was military orientated. One job that we did do, about six or seven of us that were going to be vehicle mechanics, was rebuild a car. I think he was the chief. Driving instructor. He was a captain McClure, his name was. He had this old car which he gave to us boys and said strip the body off, and he'd drawn what he wanted in the finish and said, there's the car, there's what I want, you build it. And he'd largely left it to us to do.
Now, you hadn't had any mechanical training, no. This day, so it was just learning.
But there was one or two of us that had. One man in particular was a brilliant welder. He could weld aluminium, and this is what we built this car's body with, of aluminium. We used to go into Richmond and buy sheets of aluminium, tubing, screws, bolts, whatever. And we'd spent all day with this. And the little workshop we had in Catterick was largely unused. But there was a lathe in there. There was a welder in there. And we used to spend hour upon hour on this car, right until 10 o'clock at night. And this Captain McClure would always come and see us before we went to bed, or before we packed up, and bring us a pint of beer. Each of us. And his mess bill, I think he got called over the coals for it, because his mess bill was so much that they couldn't understand where all this beer was going. But it was us boys that was having the beer.
So you were enjoying this?
Yeah.
Now, were you doing this all day, every day then? Or were you
doing other things? Until such times there was a course vacant for us. And some went on electrician's courses, some went on gunfitter's courses.
But you had to wait.
And I waited and went on a vehicle mechanics course.
Now, where was that at?
Crown Hill Barracks, Plymouth. Which was a basic mechanics training course.
And how did they start you there? What?
You started off by giving you a file and a lump of iron. And you filed it flat, you filed it square, you filed it smooth. and then you cut a radius on it with a chisel.
So this is learning how to use the basic tools and files, chisels, the rest of it. And you hadn't done much with them before, had you?
No, I hadn't.
Any trouble learning to use the tools?
Not really.
So basic tool work, anything else you're doing on this course?
Eventually you finished up. That was the basic start of it, was tool and fabrication, metal work. And then you went on to...
So what's fabrication? Hang on, what type of thing is that? What skills?
Well, filing a lump of iron flat and square and round smooth. You cut a lump off and you drill a hole in it and make sure that piece fitted tightly on there and everything. You had to get your drill dead square because when you put the other piece on, it wouldn't fit dead square. And things like that. And then you went and you progressed then to learn about engines.
Now, how far they go? Is this right from the scratch, how they work? And
yeah. Then you went on to suspensions and brakes, gearboxes. And at the end of the day, you should have finished it. You passed you out. And from there, I went back to Catrick then.
So how long did that course take?
I think that course was about 6 months. And that was right in the... Well, not right in the centre of Plymouth. I don't know where you know Plymouth. It was right up on the top at Crown Hill. Lovely place.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah.
And would you go out in Plymouth on a night?
Yeah.
What's it like in Plymouth? Because you were Army. It's a Navy town. Any trouble with the Navy?
No. You never had any trouble with the Navy. Bearing in mind that there was nothing in Plymouth that hadn't ever been rebuilt then. 1949. And I can remember the Naffy Club in Plymouth was right at the foot of the road that goes up onto the Hoe. And the rest of the city was a bomb site. And I can remember being in Plymouth the night that Sir Oswald Mosley, now whether this is libel or not, he's dead and gone now.
All right, you can say what you like, I think, then.
Sir Oswald Mosley got up and spoke in favour of the Communist Party and in favour of the Chinese, obviously, 2 days after the Amethyst and the Yangtze incident, when the Amethyst and the were cut off. And I can see now sailors getting up with tubular chairs throwing him at Oswald Mosley on the stage. And he beat a hasty retreat out the back door.
How did you feel? What did you think of it?
Well, that was good. That was good to watch that.
You just enjoyed the fun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the sailors, that was.
You didn't like him,
but there was no... Well, I don't think half of us knew who he was. Not at that stage.
Anything else about the course? Do you know what months you were there from, or you're a bit vague about that?
It was certainly a summertime, because I can remember going to a little village on a Sunday. You go down a steep hill to a little village called Egg Buckland, and somebody said, "Oh, you want to try the cider down there?" And this was a Sunday, and a boiling hot Sunday, so it must have been in the summer. We went down and had two or three pints of scrumpy and couldn't get back up the hill.
It really was that strong. Oh,
yeah, I don't know if you've ever drunk scrumpy, have you?
Now, then back to Catrick.
Then back to Catrick.
Now, back to the 1418th.
1420th,
sorry.
Yep.
So what are you doing there then?
Well, then we wait then to go on a course a specialist armoured vehicle course, mechanics course at Bovington. And that was another.
So this is an armoured vehicle course, yeah, as opposed to...
As opposed to basically lorries. The one in Plymouth didn't cover armoured vehicles at all.
Now, what was that course like?
Well, that was interesting because you were given a Comet tank at the time. You were, there again, you were split up. There was about eight of us on the course. And those people were people that were going to be vehicle mechanics, and they were from not only raw recruits like I was, but blokes who were from armoured regiments who wanted to upgrade from drivers to mechanics. So there was about eight of us in the course, and the instructor we had, he was mad keen on bees. He was a great apiarist, and if a bee went in the room, you had to stop and make sure it went out the window properly, not killed.
Did you all go and weld the different people on the course?
Oh yeah.
And tell us about the work you did on the Comet.
Well, we had a Comet tank, and we stripped it to pieces and rebuilt it.
In between
lectures, and why we were taking this to pieces, how the bearings worked, how the tolerances you built into each bit, and whatever.
That was the practical lessons.
That was the practical.
To go with the theoretical lectures.
Yeah, you did a bit of practical, you did a bit of theory, and vice versa.
And how did you take to it?
Well, that was good. There again, that was, you know, you were interested. And it was directly opposite where the museum is now. And the barracks on the other side of the road was the vehicle mechanic training depot. It then became the junior leaders, and I don't know who's in there now.
Anything happened while you were at Bovington? Anything else? Or was it just...
Well, that was without incident, really. But as I say, we rebuilt the tank, and then we all took it out on the... Made sure it worked. You know, it had to work. We all took them out on the what do you call it?
Ranges.
On the ranges.
Anything else there? Nothing. Were you there long?
I think that course was about 3 months.